Hey, it's Trevor Grant. Welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. Today we are joined by three guests: Michael McCartan, founder of McCartan Tech Consulting; Neville Isaac, Chief Customer Officer at Beyond Price; and Marco Lukicic, co-founder and director at Acquaint. This discussion continues our series looking at the evolving role of the revenue manager. And today we explore how the RMS is evolving and what additional data sets are being integrated to enhance the pricing element, looking at optimal pricing and fair pricing. We then talk about potential non-traditional indicative data sets and consider some constraints around this in terms of cost and privacy legislation. Anyway, hope you enjoy it. Let's get started. Hello, and today we are joined by three guests. We keep adding more guests each time we go through this series of the evolving role of the revenue manager. Today we're joined by Michael McCartan, founder of McCartan Tech Consulting. Hi, Michael, how are you?
Hi, Trevor. Yes, I'm very well, thank you.
Jolly good, thank you. We're joined by Neville Isaac, Chief Customer Officer, is that right, at Beyond Price?
That's right.
Hi. Perfect. Hi there, good to meet you. And Marco Lukicic, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, Marco. Apologies if I haven't. And you're a co-founder and director of Acquaint, is that correct?
Yes. Hi.
Perfect. Welcome to the three of you. I guess good practice is really to get each of you to just do a short intro for our viewers so that they know who you are and why we've got you on here. So if I can, if we can go Michael, Neville, and Marco, that would be great. So Michael, if you could kick us off, please, that would be brilliant.
Yes, indeed. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael McCartan. I have 20 years in hospitality tech experience. For the first 10 years of that, I worked for a company called Pegasus, mainly in sort of technical functions, solution engineering, integrations, and then product management. For the past 10 years, I've been in executive management positions, firstly with I was CEO of eRev Max. I was then MD, Managing Director of EMEA for Duetto, a revenue management solution out of California. And then I was Executive Vice President for RateGain. I now run my own consultancy, helping technology companies with their growth and development plans.
Superb. Thank you. Neville, if I can kind of pass that over to you, that would be great.
Hi, my name is Neville Isaac. I'm currently the Chief Customer Officer in Beyond Price. Beyond Price is a company that provides revenue management tech solutions for hotels. I'm in charge of everything that's post-sale, so all the customer service and support, and I'm also quite involved in the product development as well. I'm a hotelier for my whole life. I started off as a waiter and worked my way up, became a general manager in London for a few years, and then for the last 14 years, I've been living in Spain, and 11 of those, I was working in the revenue management department of a big hotel chain, NH Hotels, helping to set up the revenue management department in Spain, and then moving to head office and looking at revenue management tools and processes worldwide.
Thank you very much. That's brilliant. And Marco, last but by no means least, let me pass it over to you if I can.
Hello, my name is Marco Lukicic. I'm a co-founder and director of Acquaint. We are a data science company. We developed our own AI technology for hospitality, for solving complex business problems in hospitality. We developed as well a revenue management system for small hotels, for hotels up to 100 rooms. So it's an AI-based revenue management system. The system is currently in the testing phase, so we are testing it with several hotels from the Netherlands, from the Belgium. Previously, I worked as a managing board member in fifth largest Croatian hotel chain company, responsible for technology and business optimization.
Brilliant. Thank you, all three of you, for being here. Thank you for giving up your time. We are still in the morning for all of us. Some of us might be struggling with rather hot temperatures, so I think we're doing the best we can. So let's see how we get on this morning. So just to kind of tee up the conversation, in the previous videos that we've been doing has really been the focus around the evolution of the revenue manager and that role. And in our last video, we spoke about how an RMS, rather than this man versus machine argument, It's more a how the machine in the technology at the moment can be liberating the revenue manager to move towards a more strategic role. But there was also a recognition in that last video that there is still a limited amount of data, or this focus on historical data is still very much a key component part. And what we wanted to do with this video, and why we have you guys on, is to start to look at how we are bringing additional data sets in to influence that thought process, influence those pricing decisions. Then we're going to look at how we can view more broadly a greater range of data sets that are accessible, but there can be some restrictions. That really, when we start to build this in, the technology piece could become so much more sophisticated, and therefore giving a really strong tool that would enable that revenue professional to become this strategic, commercial, profit-focused individual that we've been talking about for many years now, but is still struggling to really make that evolution and breakthrough as an industry as a whole. So I'm actually going to hand over a little bit to Michael to lead this with his tech expertise. But maybe if we can start off just with kind of moving beyond the revenue management solutions as they sit now, and starting to move into what is RMS 2.0, what are some of the data areas that we could be looking at. But Michael, if I can kind of kick it over to you first of all, because you and I have had a number of conversations about where this, some of the restrictions around RMS at the moment, where it should be going, what your kind of philosophies and thoughts are around this. So if you can kind of form that link and then we'll get into that discussion, that would be great. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So even before the whole COVID pandemic and the lockdown, I was certainly of the belief that revenue management systems were not providing sufficiently accurate predictions for the revenue management community to be comfortable in automating those recommendations. And I think that is borne out in the fact that probably in a good use case, 30% of those recommendations have been overridden. In an extreme case, you know, probably 70% of those recommendations have been overridden. And I strongly believe that's because the data that the revenue management systems are ingesting is the historical data, the reservation data that the PMS has, or internal to the hotel, and that could be the historical booking patterns, but also the pace, the pickup, and the revenue management systems are relying on that information predominantly to come up with the recommendations. And now, when we take the COVID lockdown into consideration, a lot of that historical information no longer applies. And so now hoteliers and hence revenue management systems are needing to look at other data sets that actually give a better indication of demand. So my question really is, why are we in this situation where I think everyone would like to have more automated solutions, get to a point where a much greater number of recommendations are accepted. But the question is, why are we not there? What are the challenges that we're facing, and what needs to be done in order to get hold of the data that's going to allow systems to actually perform better and produce better recommendations and establish trust with the revenue management community so that they can accept those recommendations without having to override them?
No, that makes sense. And Neville, just sort of any general points, and then Marco, I'll get your thoughts on what Michael has just said there as well. Any comments, Neville?
I'm of the generation of revenue managers who started out with an Excel file making a forecast. and this Excel file got progressively bigger and bigger and bigger and had loads of macros and thousands of lines. And it was very laborious to make a forecast, although we were able to be relatively accurate in our short-term forecasting. And I think that what happened in the market is that the revenue management system started to appear maybe 15, 20 years ago. And all that they really did was automate the processes that we were using manually to forecast. So what they did was gave us time that we were using to forecast these systems did the forecast for us, and it saved us a bit of time. But there was no real advance in methodology. It was just translating our methodology to technology. And I think that's been the situation really for the last 15 years. So we're pulling the same data. It's just that we're processing it more quickly and we're probably processing it a little bit better. But there hasn't really been a step forwards in or a thinking about what else can I use to forecast, or what other data do I have and how can I use this to make my decision-making better? And I think then that's where we've kind of been stuck for the last few years, although I do think that is changing now. And I think for the future, it will change more.
No, that makes good sense. So we're going to come on to talking about sort of the factors influence pricing and what additional data could influence optimal pricing. But before we kind of move into the value of additional data, Marco, do you just want to make a comment on some of the points that Michael made there?
Yeah, I will comment it from the data science perspective. But
yeah, that'd be great.
As a data scientist, we actually solve the way how we make decisions, you know, because we want as a data science help you to make the optimal decision. So it really matters to the top management and how the top management is making decisions, etc. And as a data scientist, for us, it's most important, of course, and we always started with the historical data. It's always easy to analyze historical data and to make some predictions for the forecast. But the historical data wouldn't help us to understand what is the current situation in this T0 moment. For instance, in 2013, we had eruption of a volcano in Mount Etna. So the result was that all flights were canceled immediately. All planes were disallowed to fly over Italy. So, you know, we had a very disruptive element. And if we don't pick this disruptive element, which is happening this moment, you know, regardless of the historical data, you know, then our decisions won't be optimal. So where is the catch? Of course, recent data has a largest value than more historical data. But the sweet point for us as a data scientist is what is the current situation. The problem is that the current situation is dramatically different for a hotel in London, for a hotel in Spain, even in various neighborhoods in Madrid, etc. So, you know, to understand the current situation, you need to understand the business of this hotel. You need to understand what are their market segments, what are their revenue streams. You know, what are what is the environment in terms of competition, in terms of geographical environment, in terms of, you know, where are the restaurants, where are the museums, etc., etc., etc. And it is very, very difficult to handle all those information and to make the model that will work for all hotels. However, we are experiencing the rapid development in technology, in mathematics, in computing power. So we are already seeing some new systems that are trying to pull for each individual hotel different data streams, try to find some untraditional data pools and to connect it with the systems to make more accurate decisions and forecasts, even in disruptive elements like eruption of a volcano or COVID or anything else.
No, they're very good points. And I think we'll come back onto the broader data sets later in this conversation. So that's a really useful kind of tease that up nicely in terms of where we want to go, sort of maybe the 3.0. Let's just kind of pull back a little bit from our future looking and focus on where we see maybe the next evolution or the current evolution. And Neville, maybe I could come to you a little bit, because I know you guys, and we're very cautious here, we're not doing pitches for each of our companies and talking generically, but you are here because I know you guys have been making some advancement in terms of looking at the factors that influence pricing, looking around, influence optimal pricing, and then you're doing some bits around the willingness to pay and is the price fair. So could you just talk to us a little bit? I know I've covered sort of three or four steps that you're looking at there, but if we can kind of go back to what's that influencing pricing and then that optimal pricing piece, and then guys, maybe you could just jump in on these comments as they're made, that would be great.
I mean, what we look at, and we talked about this briefly, revenue management systems traditionally look at internal data. We call it internal data, which is data which is available from the hotel PMS. And there is an integration with those systems, and you receive the data with more or less frequency dependent. And that's used to make a forecast, and in the basis of that, you make a pricing recommendation. But that's only a partial picture. And actually, I teach revenue management in a few universities, and one of the subjects I teach on a lot is market intelligence. What's going on in your marketplace, which is something that Michael touched on and you touched on as well. The market influences greatly the performance of your hotel. We don't live in a vacuum. And in our RMS, we wanted to be able to see what data was available and how we could incorporate this into our forecasting algorithm and our recommendations. And there's data which is available easily, which is rate shopping data. So what price are my competitors selling at? And most hotel revenue managers use this data, but they don't necessarily connect it with their forecasting algorithm. So we incorporate this information, but we also incorporate information about the quality of the hotel. I mean, there's a concept of value for money, which has been around for years. I remember actually in the past using a very basic Excel file called a value for money matrix, where I put the prices of my competitors in and I put a subjective evaluation of their quality and I compared it to mine. And we've taken this a step further in that we evaluate hotels on their what we call objective quality, which is their product, where they are, how many stars they have, how many square meters is the room, whether they have Wi-Fi, what services they have. There's a lot of parameters that we take into account here. I think there's about 350. But that's not really a full picture of your hotel. And so we add into this your online reputation. So what are people saying about you? And we call this your subjective quality. And we mix these two together. And we mix these two together because the objective quality is what people expect to get from your hotel based on the information that's available to them. And the subjective quality is whether you have been able to meet that expectation or not. So were you able to meet the expectation that you created for this customer with this profile? Because it's not the same if you're traveling for leisure purposes, for business purposes, or with your family or alone or in a big group. You have different needs. And we plot this data for our clients, and we plot it for our clients' competitors in an index we call the Hotel Quality Index, and it's a score over 1,000. And we then compare this with the pricing data that we're getting because we do rate shopping, and we are able to estimate within your competitive set how much ideally a customer is prepared to pay for a certain HQI score. So there's an ideal willingness to pay according to this index. Now, normally you won't actually fall directly on that line because it also depends on what sort of pickup and demand you have, which is your internal data. So we're marrying the internal data and the external data. And we're also able this way, because we manage pricing data historically and because we keep all the historical data and in the future, we can calculate the probability that you will sell at the price that you're selling at. So within your competitive set, with these competitors and this price, your probability of sale this day is 10% or whatever, 10% of the demand for your console. And depending on your forecast, we can then decide whether you need to reduce your probability of sale or increase it. So we're adding in extra elements, which revenue managers always looked at, but didn't incorporate them in any methodical way in their decision-making process, and certainly weren't included in their forecasting algorithms. We include this data in our algorithms, and we think that it makes our recommendations better. And one thing that it also does is we believe in the concept of fair pricing. I've even heard this called ethical pricing, but I think that's a bit of a leap. but mathematically, let's say you have a huge event in your city and you could, for your 3-star hotel, get away with charging €1,000 that night. Do you want to? Some revenue managers would say yes. We would say you need to think about this. And in fact, because we use the HQI, we probably wouldn't recommend these massively dramatic jumps or losses of price in a hotel. Because if you charge a fair price for your product, there's a better likelihood of you creating loyalty or repeat business. And one of the big issues we have in the hotel business in general is the lack of repeat business. And because it's very expensive for us to acquire new customers, hotels should be thinking about repeat business. And repeat business is a lot more than pricing, you know, but pricing is part of it. And if you don't have a price identity, which is clear and which people understand and people perceive that the price they paid was fair, mm-hmm. then you're never going to get these people to come back, regardless of how many emails you send them or things like that. So the two go together for us. And if you can create loyalty and then work with your marketing department on the customer lifetime value, this has a long-term impact on your property, which we think is very important for hotels. And we think that I'm not aware of anyone who incorporates this right now into their algorithms. And there's a lot more that could be done, but I think it's a start.
Yeah, it's very interesting to listen to it. And it ties in a bit with what Marco was saying when you were talking about being more specific about your looking at your property, and not, you were kind of implying not every property is the same, not every solution needs to be the same. And I'll come back to you on that in a minute, Marco. But Michael, any comments you want to make in? Because that's leading towards what you've always been saying about trying to add these next layers as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think what Neville described, revenue managers were doing anyway, it was their knowledge of the market. They were applying that. And what he's described now is a way of automating that and making them much more efficient. I think in one of our previous conversations, Trevor, we spoke about the fact that it's often a hotel company will not shift a revenue manager from one city center location to another city center location because they don't have knowledge of that market.
Yeah.
So you effectively become chained to the market that you understand, because you understand it intuitively, have years and years of experience understanding the value of your product and the expectations of your guests, and marrying those together and, you know, using that to influence the optimal price, which is why I believe we're seeing high overrides, because the revenue management systems are giving an indicative price, and then the revenue manager, who understands their market really well, is then massaging that to actually balance the things that Neville's just described. But we need to get to a point where this ingestion of data becomes automated. So yes, as Neville said, it's a step in the right direction, and we can dig a little bit further into that. But I think there's a lot more to be done, but absolutely, it makes sense from my perspective.
And Marco, from your side, you were sort of indicating these different data sets just a moment ago.
Just to compliment Neville and Michael, let me just try to see this problem from another angle. Now, if we define willing, if we use the standard definition of willingness to pay, not hotel related but cross industry definition, then, you know, let's consider a situation where we don't discuss about willingness to pay for a room, but willingness to pay for a product. And now we come to the question, what is the product? Is it room product or there is something more than a room? For instance, if we have a room in Maldives, this room could be much more expensive than a room in some unknown island that is extremely difficult to reach. So definitely environment, the room environment is a product itself. Does it have restaurants? Does it have other activities? Neville mentioned, what about room style? What the size of the room? Does it have balcony? Which size, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Those are all features that impact willingness to pay. Now, if we come back to the revenue management system, now we can include all those features into the revenue management system and we will get much better recommendations. The problem is that in most situations, we don't have those features connected to the revenue management system. And the problem is perhaps not always in the revenue management system, but in revenue manager role. Now, revenue manager's person is traditionally someone who was in history managing prices in large Excel sheets. You know? So if you ask those persons, for those additional features, they won't be able to provide you. Even if you go to the marketing department and ask them, who are your competitors, but in terms of room style or room atmosphere or whatever, they won't be able to clearly give you an answer. This is the problem, and this is where we are continuously talking about revenue management system evolution, but we need to tackle with the evolution of revenue manager, because even if we have most advanced revenue management systems, if we don't feed them with the mechanics behind the sales and marketing process works on the market level, on local but market level, then we won't get optimal results.
That makes sense. And Neville, I mean, you mentioned that you kind of do that. So if I'm picking up and understood correctly what you said and what Marco's just said there, there's a number of points where I agree. If the revenue professional is not pulling this information in, you can have all the best system, but you're still not putting the data in, so it can't be doing what you need it to do. And if I understood correctly, what you were saying is that you're benchmarking for your clients, not only their hotel along the lines that Marco indicated, but also you're starting to do some of that analysis for the competitors. So almost bridging that gap of what the revenue professional should be doing but might not be doing at the moment. Was that right?
Yeah, I mean, we benchmark our clients' hotel, mm-hmm. and benchmark their competitor set,
right,
on the same parameters, and we do it. We because this information is available online. It's not in the past. This was more complicated, but now you can find this information. We pull it from various different places.
And that was your point, Marco, wasn't it? That it's there if you ask the question, it's available. So, sorry, Neville, go on.
But then we do allow the revenue manager in the onboarding process to manipulate the information. So we make an initial proposal. Okay, this is the score of your hotel, this is the score of your competitors, and you can actually see for all the different parameters how we've scored them, which is the leader in each parameter. And the revenue manager can amend them. So, for example, if one of the parameters is, does the hotel have a swimming pool? It's not the same if your swimming pool is on the rooftop in the Gran Vía in Madrid as if it's in the basement.
Yeah.
So, but we don't yet have that level of granularity in the information. So that's why we permit the customer to amend the information.
Yeah.
But it's true, the customer has to know this stuff. And so the revenue manager has to be on top of this as well. But I mean, the big change in my lifetime in terms of revenue management is that the data is available. The question is whether you can extract it and whether you can then use it in an actionable way. When I started working in reception in hotels, if you wanted to book a room, you phoned up and the reservations person said, okay, it's £100. And you said yes or no, and that was it. And you had absolutely no way of knowing if the person in the room next to you was paying £60 or £120. And that's not it, that's obviously not the case anymore. And you had no real information about whether the hotel was nice or not, unless one of your colleagues had stayed there before or your friends. You didn't know, apart from the star rating. And now there is tons of data. So there's no excuse, really, for not making the most of this data. It's just finding a way to do it.
So I think what I'm hearing, just at this kind of first part of the conversation, because the more we talk about data, it's leading us into talking data beyond what may be or what is accessible to us currently in-house, so to speak. But I think if I pull together what we've discussed there is that from your solution, Neville, you're already making a step towards looking at additional layers above and beyond what has traditionally existed within an RFA. That feeds back into what you were talking about, Marco, about that individuality, about the hotel, and being able to say, yes, okay, if you look at a rough guide of a comp set, which is, and the more I have these conversations, the more it seems like quite a blunt tool, that recognition that the revenue management role, and maybe this is where the revenue manager is overriding the pricing, as you alluded to, Michael, is because this kind of seeing a price point, but they're using all their knowledge of their hotel, the other hotels, additional data that is going on to override their price. It sounds as if we're moving towards, with the likes of Beyond Price, and I'm sure others are doing a similar thing, towards bringing in additional data sets, looking at quality, looking at provision, becoming a little bit more bespoke about that evaluation, as you said, Marco, comparing like for like, and then your HQI index, Neville. But again, we're still at a point where unless the revenue manager is asking the question to get that information or actually engaging with taking that step forward, we're still not moving beyond a basic price born on historical data. Have I kind of understood that we're moving forward, but if we're not asking or if we're not looking in that particular direction, we're still not actually evolving in our role to utilize the technology to the best of its ability. We're still going to outsource it and automate what we've done historically. Is that fair? Or
I mean, today we're talking about revenue management technology, but yeah. I think we need to talk about the state of revenue management in the industry. And if you look at, there's lots of studies being published about the percentage of hotels who are using revenue management technology, and it's normally somewhere between 20 and 30% of hotels in the world. And then the question is, why aren't there more? But I think the question you also have to ask is, of those 70, 80% who are not using, how many of them are actually doing revenue management?
Good question.
And how many of them even understand the concepts that we're talking about? And I don't mean to be rude about this, but it's a new discipline. It hasn't been around for that long. Hotel chains have taken the ball and run with it in a big way. I mean, some hotel chains do very sophisticated things. But outside of those chains, the picture is very different. And this is one thing that, after working in a chain for 11 years and then coming out into the market and having contact with lots of different kinds of customers, I realized this, that we had this conversation about whether revenue managers are asking the right questions, but in some cases, do they even know what questions to ask? So I think there is in order for there to be more adoption in of technology, those of us who make the technology have to take more steps. A lot more steps, but there needs to be an effort to increase the revenue management culture in our industry. And it's a very fragmented industry, so this is not an easy thing to do. But we shouldn't lose sight of this. It's one of my pet subjects, but yeah. We're in a two-speed industry in this respect. And so we need to think about how to close that gap.
No, that's a good point. Marco, you were nodding a little bit there as well. Did you have something to add on that?
Well, I recall one experience from my former company where I worked. We were working on a budget for the next year, and we had a discussion with, you know, about the top line, bottom line, revenues, etc. And then we weren't satisfied with revenue projections, so I came to our sales department and sit with them, and I said them, okay, please explain me your pricing policy and revenue projections. And then, you know, we started communication about ADR projections, and from ADR we came back to rate plans and prices, etc. And then I you know, one thing that I was taught in my my career is that give me your budget and I will tell you your strategy, because from numbers I can easily, you know, I can easily transfer your numbers into your strategy. But the only strategy that I saw at that moment is like multiplying past year rates with index 1.03 and putting this number into the budget. I couldn't see the strategy behind this budget, you know? So, you know, and at that time, I understood that actually we are not doing revenue management. I asked them, okay, what is the what is your pricing strategy? At that point, we had 4-star and 5-star hotels. And I told them, okay, but your 4-star hotels are well established on the market. There are rather old hotels. All of them are older than 30 years. So actually we are here defending our position on the market. But in 5-star segment, all our hotels are newer. We didn't have a 5-star hotel older than five years. So actually we are here a challenger. We need to make our footprint on the market. So, you know, what is your pricing strategy for defending the 4-star segment? And what is your strategy for attacking the 5-star segment? And they were just, you know, stunned. They didn't have an answer. So for me, clear indication that actually, you know, there is something strategic missing, some strategical component missing in how hotels are planning their budgets. So we started working with them, you know, to make them aware that there are some strategies, that their role should be to focus more on the strategy and implement the strategy, execute the strategy and reach the goals than on, you know, just administrating the rate plans. And this is where I see revenue management systems, you know, to take this administrative job from them, you know, revenue management software should allow revenue managers to focus more on the strategy and strategy execution. And it's brilliant that Beyond Price is working with revenue managers. They are educating them. They are measuring their achievement, etc. This is very good for the industry.
That's right. And I think that ties back into what you were saying, Neville, that they're, you know, for those that understand it, you know, this progression towards strategy and this talk about becoming more strategic seems very natural. But I know Michael and I have spoken about it, and this is part of why we're trying to put this series together, is almost to highlight that there are 70-80% of the hotel sector that might not even be doing basic revenue management or even understand what it could be doing for them at revenue management 1.0, let alone 2.0 and 3.0 and 3.0. So there is an educational piece, and I guess that's what we're trying to do as an organization, and pull these thoughts together to prompt that discussion and try and enhance the revenue management practice. But at the same time, there is also the drive from the technology companies to recognize, because I think, as you said, Neville, we've almost got two streams running. We've got a lot of the sophisticated groups and brands that are driving forward and making a lot of demands and understand the value of these additional data sets. And then you've got this other 70-80% of the market maybe that get it to differing degrees. But I think that's probably a conversation for another webcast just on that topic alone, because I'm conscious of time and I want to move us into where the sophisticated, more forward-looking, more strategic, maybe adding the next level above and beyond just hotel service, hotel quality, hotel provision, fair pricing. And I think leading a little bit into what you were saying, Michael, in terms of how are we looking at the guest's behavior and what additional information is out there that we could be pulling in. And Marco, if I can ask you maybe just to give us an example, because when we pulled this together, you used the finance industry you gave us an illustration of how they were working in a kind of historical way of doing something. And then they switched to start to look at how they could use additional data sets. Maybe we could use that as an example to start the discussion around what additional data sets are out there. Could you take a lead on that for us, please?
Yeah. So, for instance, in finance industry, especially in United States, whenever you want a credit, you go to a bank and they would calculate something what is called a FICO score. The FICO score is a standard methodology, which allows banks to calculate your credibility. You know, it goes from 0 to 1,000. So if you've got FICO score of 1,000, then your ideal bank customer, they will give you a credit with very low interest rates. But if you've got a 0 FICO score, they won't give you a credit. So there is a huge problem with this methodology, because this methodology is based on your historical performance. You know, how well are you paying your credits, etc. But for instance, if you are a student, an MIT student, it's very likely that once when you finish the MIT, you will get a very well paid job. You will at some point become a customer, a wishable customer for every bank, but you don't have any history. So if you go to the bank and if they calculate your FICO score, will be very poor, you know, and they will decline you the credit. You know? So actually, they are declining the market segment, which is low risk market segment for them. So the banks figure out that they could use something what we call in data science industry untraditional data. They figure out that if they pull the data from your Facebook or LinkedIn profile and amend the FICO methodology, they could get much more precise evaluation. Now here they emerged. Here they spotted the privacy issues. So they developed a mobile application, and they said to everyone, you know, you can install your mobile application on your mobile phone. You don't need to, but if you install it, the mobile application will watch what you're doing on Facebook and LinkedIn, and it will calculate better, more precise FICO score. So if you don't want this, don't install the application. But if you install the application will ask you to give the consent that the application can use your private data. And if you use this application, perhaps your FICO score will be higher and the bank will automatically see your higher FICO score and they will give you a credit with lower interest rates. So there is a win-win situation. Now, I don't say that this is a good way for hospitality to go, but it is an example how hotels still can reach to into private data with the consent of the guest, of course, and use this data to understand the guest, to understand the market segment, to understand why the guest is here, what he wants, what products he is interested in, at this particular moment with what services and products should we market this guest, etc. There are other ways. Hotels are pretty much experimenting with the loyalty systems and loyalty clubs, where they are asking their former guests and actual guests to give a consent, so their systems could, track their location-based data to understand what are the points of interest, where are they hanging out, and with such data, hotels can understand what products could be of the guests' interest.
No, that's excellent. And I think what I wanted to do, the purpose of the, as you say, the finance example was to get us to the discussion about this untraditional data. And I think I'd just be interested in Michael, Neville, your just initial thoughts about what additional data sets are out there that is the untraditional data. What might you be aware of? What avenues do you think we could be exploring? And obviously, Marco, you can jump back into this as well. Michael, Neville, either one of you can kind of take that on as a broad question.
Go ahead, Neville.
Okay. I mean, this is very interesting. And I fully agree that there's a lot of data out there that we could be using to make better decisions. And we're already thinking along these lines. And actually, as a result of the current COVID crisis and the fact that many hotels have been closed and the fact that the historical data that we're using is not useful right now, mm-hmm. we started to think about what the way we do forecasting is going to have to change and what other data could we possibly look at in order to forecast. And there's a few kind of things that have been hanging around for a few years, concepts that people have been looking at, like weather forecasts, which was kind of trendy a couple of years ago and seems not to have gone anywhere. But we're looking at things like Google search data. What are people searching for? What keywords are they using? Where are they searching? What is the relationship between search information and booking information? Flight information, this has been talked about a lot, and I do think this is useful. How many people are traveling to your destination? How many of them are laying over in your destination? This is more still market information. It's not necessarily personal data. But this would enrich the forecast enormously. Who's visiting your website? What are they doing when they're on your website? Where are they looking? There's a lot of data we could collect here. And there's two challenges in this. Firstly, can you access the data? How much would it cost you to obtain this data? Which is a very important question. Yeah. And then the second question is, am I able to use this data in a way that enables me to take actionable decisions or make recommendations that make sense? And so that's kind of where we are right now. I think that forecasting is going to change enormously over the next 2 or 3 years. And obviously, if forecasting changes, then the way you recommend is going to change as well. So there's a lot to think about here. And it's a big challenge, I think, for the industry as a whole. But we need to take the conversation forward a step, I think. And I'm sure there's lots of other data sources that people could potentially look at as well. If you're on the coast in Costa Rica, what's the forecast for surfing, for the waves? This definitely would affect your hotel. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things that I think we need to start looking at. But then we need to decide if the data is actually going to enable us to take decisions.
Yeah, I think there's a number of points in there. And I know, Marco, you've got some commentary in around that. But Michael, anything you want to add into or points you want to make in that?
Just to say that what Neville said is correct. I mean, it's difficult, but we believe there's value in that market data. I think we probably need to approach it at two levels. One is the macro data, so the flight information, the weather information. That sort of gives you a general trend about demand in the market, the indicative volumes that you can anticipate for a particular day. But then there's a more detailed level, so the micro data, which is more around specific segments. And I said, I think we've got fairly crude segmentation today. It's business or leisure or group or whatever. But we all know that sometimes we're a leisure traveler, sometimes we're a group traveler, sometimes we're a business traveler. One of the other challenges is to really understand what the motivation behind this particular trip is for me and match the right product to me. The other challenge that hotels have in sort of establishing that is that the number of repeat guests is quite low. We don't always go back to the same hotel and the same destination. We generally, you know, probably if we stay at the same hotel three or four times a year, that would be a lot. So the amount of data that we actually know about the guest is limited. So understanding what the right segment is and then being able to derive what's driving demand for that segment is an even bigger challenge than just understanding sort of more macro demand for a destination.
That makes sense. And Marco, from a data science point of view, you know, there's lots of data out there, but what data is valid and how do you use that data and what broader data sets are could be considered? Can you talk at all to that area?
Yeah. So this is what I see as a revenue management system 3.0, where you know you need to understand for each particular hotel client, whatever, you need to understand what data does it make sense to use or not, because some data, if you include it, it will make your models less accurate. It will generate noise. So it's becoming extremely difficult, and that's why everyone is focusing on historical data. Even when you are doing budget, as I mentioned it, we're just putting some index on past company performance and use it as a budget for next year. You know, this is the simplest way. The more difficult way is to understand the current situation. As Michael and Neville mentioned it, especially Neville, how he described it, how Beyond Price works with Google search and other things. The most difficult part is to understand what data streams does it make sense to use for this particular hotel. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for some hotels, some data streams will work and some data streams will not work. And here, I would like to mention another challenge. Actually, Michael mentioned it, and I would like to elaborate it. It more, it's the problem of trust. You know, traditionally, revenue managers used Excel spreadsheets where they would handle prices for each room types, etc., and they would define seasons, whatever, and they would use it. Emerged revenue management systems, advanced revenue management systems like Beyond Price, and those revenue management systems, what they are doing, they are actually pulling, we call it in data science features, they are pulling lots of data. And they are actually transforming this data into one mathematical multiverse in multidimensional space. So a space of vectors. It's a space that can have hundreds, even thousands of dimensions. So it's not like a coordinate system where you've got, I don't know, time and revenue and that's it. It's a system with thousands and thousands of dimensions. And in those dimensions, the system recognize a spike impulse in some area, and it tries to transform back to reality this spike and understands that the price for this room for the date in the future should be increased because the demand, I am feeling the demand for that particular room type or whatever. And this is how it works. But it is very difficult for us as humans to understand the logic behind this decision. This is very problematic because we sometimes we can't even understand two dimensions, a coordinate system with time and revenue. And we are questioning and questioning what is happening, why we do have why is the curve like it is? But in a multi-dimension, multi-universe, multiverse of vectors, of numbers, etc., it's very difficult for revenue manager systems to understand the recommendations and to follow. So the question is, how can we assure the trust? There is a way, and the critical way is what Beyond Price is doing, and this is education of the revenue managers. So of course, you know, we need to define in the revenue management system what we call trails, you know, some lower and upper boundary, and we say everything what happens between those boundaries, we will say that this is normal and we will follow those recommendations. If we've got some spike beyond or above those boundaries, like there is subtle recommendation that we should increase the price by 30%, you know, the revenue management system should raise alert and warn the revenue manager, you know, I've got here something, some awkward recommendation, please step in and confirm whether this is true or false. So this is the way how we can earn trust, you know, to set the KPIs and to measure what is the effect of revenue managers, revenue management software on our business, and to define the trails, to define the borders between where the revenue management system can make decisions. Once revenue management systems earn our trust, not our, because they have definitely my trust, but once they earn revenue managers' trust, then revenue managers will have additional tough time and enough time to develop their strategy competencies and to focus more on the strategy.
No, I think that's a good point. And trust, I know you've mentioned it, Michael. So I'll let you pick up on that in a moment. And then Neville, I'll also get your kind of commentary around that, being involved in it day to day and from an educational point of view as well. So, and we'll make this the final kind of point, because I'm conscious there's so much we could talk about here, but we do have a limited amount of time of our guests. So Mike, if you could just pick up on that trust element, because I know it's a key point for you with that overriding of pricing you've mentioned a number of times.
It's fascinating. And I think both Marco and Neville have mentioned training and to really elevating the status of the revenue manager to become more of a strategist, and there's education, training, and understanding what lies beneath the science. But it poses an interesting question, which maybe Neville and Marco can comment on. But at the moment, the revenue management systems are sort of a one size fits all. There's a limited amount of configuration, at least in my experience, that can be done to apply that strategy. So yes, one, we need to educate the revenue manager to become more than just a revenue manager, to a revenue strategy, and have a very robust strategy around their pricing. But to what extent can the revenue management systems take a one-to-one approach to configuration of that revenue management system beyond just the, you know, a few tweaks here and there, a few configurations here and there? But it sounds like, from what Marco is saying, that if revenue management systems can allow each hotel to configure the system to accurately apply their revenue strategy, that would be a significant step forward.
Yeah, makes sense. And Neville, did you?
I mean, this is a tough one. And I'm not a data scientist, so Marco, you can correct me here. But we in Beyond Price, we always have several versions of our algorithm running. And then we compare the two, and there's always some more advanced version being run. And I don't know about configuration, but certainly with the most recent technology in artificial intelligence, with neural networks, the algorithm can actually be different for each of our properties because it's being trained by the performance of the properties in a specific way. So there is some element whereby it is different for each hotel. Obviously, there's a base that's the same. So that is something. In terms of configuration, I mean, there's a lot you can configure, but some of it is standard. I think in terms of trust, there's two questions for me. One is, I think the vendors, so us, we have a responsibility to explain ourselves better and to be able to demonstrate with facts that the decisions that we are proposing are the adequate ones. And then there is the question of education, which is, and I've had this experience in all of my positions, a revenue manager thinks that his decision is better than the decision made by the system. But in many cases, he's actually wrong. And in some cases, he's right. So that's where I say the vendor also needs to be able to explain themselves. But there is an issue here. And in one of my previous positions, we installed a revenue management system. And the revenue manager started to say, I don't agree with his recommendations. And in some situations, we forced them to run with the recommendations of the technology to see what happened. The issue is that not the outcome wasn't always on the side of the technology. And this is what we've been talking about all day, that we need to increase the sophistication of our technology in order to increase trust. And at the same time, educate, we've talked about education already, but educate revenue managers to and help them to understand the way that we are recommending. And this is a very delicate balance. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge, a big challenge, I think.
I agree. I'm conscious we've been talking for quite a while, guys, and I still feel I could pose another question and we could continue to talk even further. But I am, as I say, for repeating myself, I am very conscious of your time and giving up the time to be part of this discussion. From my side, listening to it, highly fascinating. I think what I get out of it and what I've heard from it, I think, is the word sophistication comes out in terms of developing these sophisticated systems. But I think also becoming maybe more sophisticated might not be the right word in terms of how we are educating the revenue community to become more sophisticated in their approach to revenue management. And then we can start to see how these two elements can tie together to be the greater, to realize its true value for not only the individual, but also from what the systems can do and what they can perform, and how that can ultimately benefit the hotel, which is what we want everybody to do. We want hotels to be in business. We want them to generate revenue. We want them to generate profit. And we all want to get back to some sort of normality and go on holiday and have hotels there that we can visit and experience. But I think you're right. It is a challenge. It's a challenge for vendors. It's a challenge for hoteliers. It's a challenge for the revenue professionals and the various associations to drive this dialogue. But hopefully, the more we can keep these discussions going, the more we continue to have it front and center, the more we can work on helping to develop systems and educate, and we can start to all move together to a more strategic revenue management profession. Any final comments from you guys, or have we pretty much covered everything that we were going to in this session anyway? All good?
I think it was a pretty good summary.
Super. Well, look, again, thank you to all three of you, to Michael, to Neville, to Marco. It was great to have you join us today. And let's hope we can bring you guys on either collectively or individually again in the future, so we can explore some more areas of this. Thanks so much.
So that's the end of our conversation today with our three guests. And I'd like to just thank Michael, Neville and Marco for joining us. I hope you found the podcast interesting and thought-provoking. And if you did like what we are producing, then obviously please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can also find us on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel. And also subscribe there would be great, as that helps the channel out. Anyway, until the next time, thanks for listening.